Just want to let you know a little bit about the workshop today, the goals that we have. I just want to tell you all a little bit about the program quality self-assessment tool, review the content of the tool and the user's guide with you, and then we might then we'll get a chance to discuss program quality in a number of the sections, and discuss how the tool may be useful in your programs. So, how does that sound for goals today? Any questions about the telephone workshop today?
No. No.
Well, I want everybody to know, of course, that the tool is available for free. It is available for download, and you can find it at afterschoolnetwork.org/QSA tool. And a little bit about this tool, for those who aren't familiar, is that I'd say about, 2-3 years ago now, the California Department of Education made the first draft of this tool. And they put it out to the field for input. And they wanted to know how they could improve the tool before releasing it to the field. Well, the California After School Network has a committee, as many of you may know, that deals with program quality and had been creating its own sort of framework for program quality at the same time that the CDE was developing this tool. So they were in a perfect position to offer the California Department of Education some very detailed input and feedback on how they thought the tool could be improved, the California Department of Education tool. And what this basically led to was the department working with the Network Quality Committee to basically revise and roll out the tool. So the network was able to get some funding from the Hewlett-Packard Foundation and revise the tool based on a lot of field input and release the tool last year for its pilot year. And then last year, we piloted the tool for a year. And if you're on that page, afterschoolnetwork.org/QSA tool, you can sort of see how the tool was revised. We had a chance to work with national experts, practitioners, multiple organizations, the California Department of Education, regional leads, the demonstration project, and a number of different organizations to revise this second revision of the tool. And this new version that you have in your hands is currently it has two new sections. And those sections include sections on nutrition and physical activity and supporting English learners in your programs. The tool was also revised to be more point of service, meaning that, and especially in certain sections like the youth development section, it will be a lot more about what you see, hear, and feel in the program, and each indicator was attempted to be sort of tightened up so there would be as little inference as possible in using the tool. So that's sort of how the tool and the story of the tool and its origin. And just to let folks know, even though the California Department of Education worked with the network in creating this tool, the department never intends that this tool will be mandatory. The tool is basically available for use in any way that will help a program improve. It is offered as a resource and is not tied to any sort of program requirements that you have to do this, and also doing the use of this tool will not satisfy your CPM requirements. It is, again, just a resource that is there for you to use. At that point, I'll just stop briefly and ask if there's any questions sort of about the intent of the tool before we start sort of getting into how to use it in the sections that are there. Remembering also that you would have to press *6 to unmute your line if you did have those questions. And what I'll say is, if you do have those questions at any time, just feel free to unmute your line by pressing star 6 and just get my attention, and we'll address your questions as you have them. Great. Well, I also want to let folks know that, you know, I've done a lot of training on this tool throughout the state. I've trained a lot of individuals on the use of this tool. And I had a 25-year-old veteran and academic coach kind of look at me during one of these trainings and say, you know, I have to let you know that this tool actually intimidates me. It's very overwhelming to look at this tool in its sort of entirety. It really kind of tells you what it is that you're not doing currently. And I really thanked him for that input, because this tool does have the potential of being overwhelming when you look at it. And I guess I would just like to say that what it's meant to be is sort of the moon. And the idea is that you have the ability to see the moon, know that it's there, know that there's lots of potential that could be reached within your program, but to realize that through an assessment process, you're going to realize a lot about your program. You're going to also realize how you're doing well. You're going to also sort of realize that there are some real basic needs that you should address and some more long-term needs. For example, if through assessment, you know, you were able to find out that many of your staff don't know safety procedures at your sites, and they don't know the mission and vision of the overall program that they work for, those two things would be things that I might want to address sort of right away, especially the safety issues that are involved. However, you know, if you found that one thing that folks think is that they're really strong in youth development, and you'd like to continue with youth development training in the off season next year, then that's something you definitely want to plan. But remember, it would kind of fit into a different set of priorities, kind of far into the future. So hopefully, what this does is allow you to create short range, mid range, and long term plans. And hopefully that takes away a little bit of that overwhelming feeling. And then once again, I just want to say that it's not mandatory, and it's not mandated. And probably the best thing that you could do when implementing this tool is to present the tone that you'd like to use it with. This is definitely part of a staff-directed process. It's something that's meant to spark conversation towards program quality improvement. And so, you know, I heard somebody from San Bernardino told me that that as they've been using the assessment over the last couple years, she's noticed that actually people are rating themselves lower than they did the first time they did the assessment. And she thought that this might be for two reasons. She thought that, one, that they started to realize that if they didn't rate themselves very high in certain categories, what that would mean is that that she could step in and support them in that category, in that area, and that over time has played out so that people are more willing to be honest about their answers. So the fact that use over time has not proved to result in punitive actions for staff and for sites, that has really helped in its use. And that also, she believes that because it is sort of the moon, now people know a little bit about programs that they wouldn't know before. And so now they're actually starting to rate themselves lower because they are holding themselves to a higher expectation. So just some interesting things that have happened over time. So at this point in time, I'd like to actually open up the tool and start delving into the sections of the tool. And you can do that by pressing the blue link that is underneath the tool. The new California program quality self-assessment tool has arrived. And then actually, if you go all the way down to the bottom of that page, there is a link for the QSA tool, and it'll pull up a PDF document. So you can sort of go ahead and open up that document currently. And once you have it open, go ahead and move down to page 5. And you'll see sort of the 11 quality elements that are up there on page 5. I'm wondering if at this point anybody needs just a couple more minutes to catch up with that to get to page 5. Very cool. Well, as I've said before, you are going to choose how it is best to use this tool in your program. And depending on the different sorts of time that you have, you know, you may, as a program coordinator or as a program director, decide that maybe there's a couple of sections that you want to tackle first and that you'll tackle section by section in a staff meeting. Or you might want to just give the entire tool as a survey to some of your staff and average the results and discuss the results and program improvement efforts from there. I want to let you know that although there are 11 sections, and take a look at what those 11 sections are, design and assessment, administration and finance, and so on, I'd like you to look at it, though, through the lens of including a student that had special needs and kind of look at those lists of the sections and think of which section would most aptly apply to including a student with special needs. And is there a section that's popping out at anybody right now? Going once.
Are you in regarding to the QSA tool and you're looking at the 11 program quality elements? Like you're talking about that, right?
Right. So which program quality element, 1 through 11, would most aptly relate with including a youth with special needs?
I would think number 6, youth development, is one. How are you including, how are you allowing them to become leaders?
Number 10, maybe.
Absolutely. So that section certainly would apply. Are there any other sections that apply?
10.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard section 10, promoting diversity, access, equity, and inclusion. Absolutely.
Section 10?
Yeah.
Right, section 10, promoting diversity, access, equity, and inclusion would obviously relate with that. Would your program environment and safety have something to do with that? In terms of including children and youth with special needs?
Yes.
That would be an element.
I think a lot of these things would work as well. I mean, family involvement, a lot of times schools will do stuff, you know, and it's not that they're excluding, but they're not really as inclusive as they could be to students with special needs and their families.
Right. Not only connecting with the family, but that would also have a lot to do with connecting with the school day as well, right? In terms of that seamless support system for those youth. And so the point is that this is really a holistic tool and that you can look at your program through a lot of these different lenses and that one concept may actually be cross-cutting in multiple sections. But that there are certain sections that really will focus on that particular subject. So good. Any other questions or comments? I just want to bring up the scoring of the tool, which is just down there on the left. Notice that there's a scale of level 1 through 4, and then there's also don't know. And so starts with our program is just beginning in this work, and goes all the way up to level 4, which is we are exceptionally proficient, sort of we can demonstrate this. We could bring you to our program, and we would be a model of this practice. And then there's don't know, because you may also end up with, you know, folks that are at the program staff level that may not know all the answers to the administration and finance section. So there is that sort of don't know indicator. So go ahead and scroll down to actual section one of the tool that's on page 7. And what I'd like to do first is just sort of go over this section as an example of the entire tool. You'll notice that there's sort of a description of what the what that section stands for, and there are 9 indicators in this section 1. And you'll notice that these indicators are not entirely specific, that some of them are specific, but some of them are very general. So, for example, a qualified staff person or consultant conducts regular self-assessments and outcomes evaluation using strong research design. That's somewhat general, somewhat specific. Notice that we're not telling you what tool to use. We're not telling you those types of things. What we're saying is it's important that you assess, right? Those 9 indicators are there. You have the ability to rate yourself 1 through 4. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there's sort of an annotated scale there. So level 1, just beginning. Level 4, exceptionally proficient. So if you were going to just use this page in a staff meeting, everything, all the information's there for you, the scale, where you can score it. And the 2 probably most important parts of each page are these examples of this indicator in our program section. So this is sort of where you have your discussion, right? I gave it a 2. The reason I did that is because I see it happening in our program in this way. I'm not seeing it happening in other ways. And it gives you the opportunity at the bottom of the page to put in, well, you know, wow, this learning about this has sparked a new idea. What could we do? What could our action plan be here? And what sort of training might we be able to access that can bring us up in this area? So that's sort of the general layout of each page. Any questions in terms of layout? Very cool. Well, then let's just go through the tool really quickly, and I just invite you to scroll through all the sections, noticing in section 1 there's sort of 3 major buckets of that section. And in section 2, program administration and finance. Now, remember that I said that that this tool was not mandatory to use at any time. However, you will notice, like in indicators 5 and 7 in the administration and finance section, that there is a parenthesis that says ACEs and 21st century programs. This tool is meant to be used by any after-school program, but there were certain things that were included that are also compliance-oriented with only those 2 grants. So you'll see that example there about the ACEs and 21st century there that, you know, in Indicator 7, 85% of funds go to direct services. That's for an ACEs and 21st century program. So just noting that. Those are probably some of the only overlaps in terms of a compliance-type document that you will see, although I have noticed that if folks are working on their CDE program plan, you know, a lot of this stuff is very relatable, but again, not mandatory. You notice section 3, community partnerships and collaboration. And just go ahead and sort of go over some of those indicators and take a look at them as we're browsing. Section 4, alignment and linkages with the school day. I like indicator number 5 on the alignment section. Staff and participants have access to sufficient indoor and outdoor space, including classrooms, library, computer labs, gym, fields, kitchen, and storage can be locked when needed. I know that that's a big issue with a lot of programs. Section 5, program environment and safety. Notice how it's paired into the physical and social environment. Indicator number 7, staff members address youth by name. That's something that can be directly measured and seen. You may notice that section 6, the youth development section, is separated into 3 sections, supportive environment, interaction, and engagement. Section 7, staff recruitment and professional development. A lot of folks often enjoy indicator number 10, that staff are fairly compensated and publicly recognized for their achievements in order to support staff retention. And section 8, family involvement. Section 9, this is one of our new sections this year, nutrition and physical activity. Notice that there are 9 indicators in 2 different categories in that section. Section 10, promoting diversity, access, equity, and inclusion. And section 11, effectively supporting English language learners. So what I'd like to do in a moment is to review the user's guide, which is back on afterschoolnetwork.org/QSA tool, and you can open it. It's right underneath the QSA tool on that page. But before we go over the user guide, were there any thoughts or questions in terms of the actual quality self-assessment tool? Very good. Well, let's just really quickly go through the user's guide, and then I want to get you all playing with the actual tool and getting a chance to dialogue with one another about program quality in general. So if you go to afterschoolnetwork.org/QSA tool, scroll down to that bottom of the page, you can open up the user's guide. You'll notice that it has a blue cover. I just want to point out a couple of things in the user's guide here before we get to sort of dig in and discuss some elements of program quality. Does anybody not have the user's guide open yet? Very good. Well, then we shall move on. So, just wanted to point out on page 3, it talks a little bit about the use of the tool, that this is a staff-directed process. It's not meant to be an external monitoring tool, and it's really based to be a conversational tool so that you can engage staff, you can engage your program administration, your teachers, and it's really meant to start meaningful conversations toward program quality and to help you create a plan for program quality improvement. So just wanting to reemphasize that not only is this not mandatory, it shouldn't be used as an external or was not intended to be used as an external monitoring tool or anything that was used for evaluation. This is something that that is a way that programs can self-assess toward quality improvement. On page 7, there's a, or actually page 6, there begins a quick guide. And if you're with me on page 6, you can see a circle at the bottom of that page that says program quality. You see a lot of elements going into that program quality piece. And so one thing that I just want to add to this is that through some of my trainings, you know, folks have said, wow, this tool is very useful. I definitely am excited to use it. But I want to assess my students using this tool. I want to assess the youth in my program so that they can give me good input. And what I would say about that is that assessing the youth in your program is absolutely essential, especially in a high school program. You have to be providing youth with relevant opportunities that they want to participate into, and the only way you're going to find that out is through talking to them and assessing their needs. That being said, I don't know that the California After School Program Quality Self-Assessment Tool is the best tool to assess your youth, right? So you may create a survey, and maybe some of the elements in here might lend itself to a survey to survey youth or to survey families, but that you may want to utilize the tool to create a different assessment that uses maybe easier to understand, more common language if you were going to be assessing your youth or your families, but that this would be a great tool to assess and to create conversations with community partners, principals, youth workers, program managers, and that sort of thing. Questions, comments about that? Very cool. So the next phase is really just choosing how you're going to assess. You can use this tool in any way that you like. We're going to present a couple of different ways, and then you can take it from there, right? So one of them starts on page 8, and it is the survey to discussion method. And basically, the way that this works is that you give the entire tool or a section of the tool to staff to take as a survey type instrument. So they do it on their own. They write down their answers. All those answers get tabulated and averaged, and then you're able to assess on a broad level what your staff, either site or program-wide, are thinking, and you're going to be able to discuss the results with staff and to come up with a program improvement plan. So, you know, this would involve deciding who you wanted to have around the table, what different kinds of input you wanted to get, and then take it from there. And basically, you just summarize the responses, and you're able to take the steps after you get your results from there. So there are all sorts of things to consider when doing survey to discussion, which is outlined on 8 to 9, and that's all outlined in the user's guide. On page 10 begins the consensus-based discussion, and this is where you might have one section of the tool, and you're going to put it down in front of everybody at the table, and everybody has to agree on how they're going to rate and what examples and strengths and areas to improve are coming out of each indicator based on the perspective of those around the table. And just a quick question, if you were going to be using a consensus-based discussion method in order to assess your program, do you think that you'd want to do that with 25 or more folks? And if folks are on star 6, you can press star 6 to unmute your line. But just checking to see if you are awake out there. And would you want to do a consensus-based discussion with a large group?
No.
And why would you say that?
I think if you're going to have a large group, do it several times, and then that way you kind of can get a different area. The larger group, when you go into do surveys and stuff like that, sometimes people can tend to mold to whatever is conforming in the group as opposed to speaking up with differences. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so that you might create sort of a group consciousness with a large group. And if you do have dissenting ideas, it could be very difficult to actually come to a consensus. And mm-hmm. So you'd be having the conversation, but you might not actually have clear next steps come out of that conversation. So really important to think of if doing a consensus-based with a smaller group. So if you wanted to do some program-wide assessment, probably the survey method would be the best. And otherwise, if you were going to do smaller site-level conversations, consensus-based might be the best way to do it. And I'll actually just move us ahead to page 14 in the action planning guide. And this is really sort of the whole meat of why you really do this, right? Why do you assess? You assess so that you can not only figure out how you're doing well, but then also begin some action planning. And the action plan guide begins on page 14, but the real meat of it can be found on page 19. And so there you see that there's sort of a sample action plan format. And many of you on the line may have heard of sort of the SMART goals. And this is kind of similar to the SMART goal format. So you think of the quality element, and you think of what could happen, who'd be responsible for that, what time frame, sort of measures of success, and other considerations that you might have in terms of creating a program improvement plan. And my thoughts on this are you can do this sample action plan for a short-term plan. We need to train up on safety procedures and familiarizing our new staff with the mission and vision of the program. That maybe there are certain sites that are showing high quality, and so maybe you want to do some measure or some mentoring with that, and maybe that's an action toward program improvement that may be more on the longer term, or that you found that you were really successful based on a training that you had earlier in the year, so you make a longer-term plan to make sure to continue to sustain that practice of quality training that you've had. So I would definitely do your right now, 3 months from now, 1 year from now type plan. And with that, also with the action planning, I wouldn't just save it on a computer and put it away. I would make it very visible so that it's out in the open and everybody knows and is on the same page with sort of ways that the direction that the program is sort of moving in. The reason that I also suggest that is that I've talked to a lot of folks and they deal with a lot of turnover on the site level. There's folks out there that are dealing even with a lot of turnover at an administrative level of the program. So it's nice to sort of have your plan there, and it's kind of I equate it to being prepared with the best, strongest lesson plan that I've had all year, and I'm ready really to get that lesson moving for that particular day. And maybe it's going to culminate in a really awesome project, and I'm really excited about the lesson that I have planned for today. But, as folks are coming in the door, somebody, trips, hurts themselves, they're bleeding, somebody else sees the blood, they vomit, and now I'm in the situation where I have to adapt and really just make sure that the basic needs of and health of my participants is met. And then I can kind of come back to my lesson plan. Well, that's sort of how I view the action planning piece, is that it's great to have a plan, and things are going to happen. You're going to run into turnover at the site level and having to hire new staff and orient them. You may even run up into turnover at the administration level. But if you have this plan in place, when new people come in, you can kind of show them where you are and where you're going. And if it's visible, if it's in an area where people see it, then you're more likely to actually revisit it and come back to it and keep working towards action planning. So that's basically the tool in a nutshell. At the end of the tool, one of the last things is on page 21, a technical assistance request. And we do have one of our regional leads on the line, Lucia. And so if you were in Lucia's region and you found that, you know, program-wide, you were really looking for some good technical assistance on effectively supporting English language learners for your program staff, well, then this would be a form pretty much that you could use to send to your regional lead in California. And your regional leads are in a great position because they are tied to a lot of resources that are available all throughout the state. So they can bring in some of those resources, and they're also very well connected in their county offices. So they can bring in some of those resources to your program that you may have not even known were available. So this is a great way to say, you know, we found in this site or in this program that we could use help in this particular category. This is just a way to help you reach out to a technical assistance provider and really hone down what it is, the need that you have, so that they can help support you. So that is basically the sort of the long and the short of it in terms of the tool, what it looks like, the user's guide, how you might use it. And I'd like to, in a moment, actually dig into some of the program quality elements and actually have a discussion with you all. But at this point in time, are there any questions? You've looked at the tool, the user's guide. Any thoughts, questions, comments, ideas, anything coming to pass here? And remember that you can press *6 to either mute or unmute your line. And I'd love to hear from you.
I have a question, probably more so for the regional person who you'd be turning in the technical assistance request form for.
Okay.
Just saying, what should be around the turnaround time for that as far as getting help or anything like that? I mean, obviously it would depend on certain issues, but around about. Like, in my area, I just met mine this past weekend, so
okay.
I'm...
And while we're waiting for Lucia to come on and add, I would say that it's probably different in every region, depending on, you know, the sort of amount of requests that are coming into each regional lead. But, Lucia, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that? And, Lucia, if you are speaking right now, we can't hear you, so you may need to press *6. Yeah, so I guess the only thing I could offer is that I'm glad that you have a new relationship with your regional lead, because they're a great resource for you. But I think that in each of the 11 regions, it's probably going to be different, depending on the nature of the regional lead's position and the amount of requests that they're receiving.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I'd like everybody to turn to the tool and go to the youth development section. The youth development section is 2 pages long. It starts on page 12 and ends on page 13. So go ahead at this point in time and just go into the actual tool, not the user's guide, pages 12 and 13. And what I'd like to do is take a little bit of time to just talk about what's happening in your programs. And so what I'd like you to do is, as you're sort of going down, and at this point in time, everybody can feel free to unmute their line by pressing star 6 to unmute their line. And I'd like to just hear from you, you know, that if you're doing something that you would want to put in that sort of section, examples of this indicator in our program, just to go ahead and share some of those examples. So as you're going through the tool, don't think of it necessarily as a checklist. Kind of go down through all the different elements between the two pages. And if something pops out at you and you're like, oh, man, you know, we're doing something and we have an example of how this is done well in our program, or if you've heard of other programs that are doing something well, I'd love to hear from you in terms of what are those examples of this indicator in your program. So at this point in time, if anything's popping out at you, let us know what that indicator is and sort of what that practice is, and then maybe we can all learn from each other a little bit about building some of our program quality in this area. So anybody is free to comment on that at any time. All right. Any thoughts at this point in time?
Hi, I'm sorry. I was disconnected right when you told us to go to page 12.
Okay.
Back on, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. Great. So what we're talking about is just going through page 12 and 13. Anything that jumps out at you that you'd want to throw into that examples of this indicator in our program section.
Okay.
So anything that that would be examples to support a quality practice in any of these areas.
And looking at engagement, number 12, you have the opportunity to participate in community service projects, such as neighborhood cleanups, peer-to-peer tutoring, or community needs assessments. Our Youth Advisory Board will soon be partnering up with Habitat for Humanity and working with them in different ways. Peer-to-peer tutoring, our program runs off that. The program assistant makes sure that he keeps track and tabs of all of our youth, and our youth go from our high school and go into the middle schools to build bridges there and tutor in their after-school programs, which is all under Campfire as well.
Nice.
And cleanups and stuff like that, I remember not this particular program that I'm at, but another program I partnered with the city, and we did a kind of a positive graffiti class, and then the students, they went out and painted over graffiti and then came back and they were able to make art out of, you know, on cloth and stuff like that. So they kind of understood that it could be a business if they wanted, you know, taking something that the community sees negatively and putting a positive spin on it, and then having them feel ownership over their area by cleaning off the stuff that shouldn't be there.
Absolutely, and, you know, that seems like it's also would be a real strong example in the community partnerships and collaboration, and that oftentimes, you know, as program providers, we don't have the access to those types of community service projects, so it works really well to partner with organizations that is, you know, that's their calling. So great. And also love to hear that they're using that sort of airbrush and graffiti in terms of more of a creating cloth or actual product out of an art form that may be perceived negatively in the community. So absolutely, great examples.
Woo-hoo.
Nice one. Any other thoughts?
Number two, youth have the opportunity to try new skills with support from staff. At my school, we have youth advisory board as well. And, well, not just them, but anyone in the program, basically. If I catch them more messing up than anything, I think, or doing things they're not supposed to, I kind of put them in leadership roles when they act that way rather than giving the kids who are on top of their things more responsibility. I like to give the ones who are misguided responsibility because it seems to get their attention and be more involved with the program.
Nice, nice. And that seems like that also goes with number five in terms of the youth demonstrating ownership of the program. And it seems like with both of those cases, having youth advisory boards is a huge way to get youth voice involved, especially in high school programs where the youth aren't going to be there unless it's something that they want to be there for or something that they get something out of. So absolutely incorporating that youth voice and letting the youth take leadership within the program, huge, especially in the high school realm. Great. Nice one. Any other thoughts? Going once, twice, and sold. Well, I want to thank those of you who did share for sharing. I wanted to outline just a couple of other ways that this tool can be used, and then we'll be able to wrap up and be able to get out of the call a little bit early today. But I've not only did I say would this tool be used to help you know how to improve your program, but you can also use the tool to really assess what you're doing well. And that's a really great way to start marketing as well within your program. So if you know that you're doing certain things really well and that's a strength, then that's something that you can actually pull on when you're doing and when you are letting your youth do the marketing for the program. I've heard in talking with a lot of programs throughout the state that, it's one of those common difficulties that folks just want to make sure that they have access to adequate space. It's really hard to get the school administration, the after-school program, the teachers, and the custodial staff, all on the same page in a way that is supportive of the after-school program success. And I've heard of a lot of people have a lot of difficult conversations with school administrators and, teachers. There's union issues involved. And what I really like about this tool is that it provides a platform to start a conversation that isn't based on your own personal wants and desires, right? This is what the California Department of Education says is high quality. So, when you have an indicator there that says, that the staff and participants have access to sufficient indoor and outdoor space, computer labs, gym, fields, and kitchens, things like that, it's nice to be able to go to an administrator and say, I just want to work at what the California Department of Education says is of high quality. That is my goal, So, here's what the department says, and you can show them the tool, right? It's not your idea. You're just trying to operate at high quality, right? So this is a way that you can say, here's something, here's an idea. How can we work together to make sure that the program does have enough space? What can we do to make sure that we're using that space properly or, meeting your needs if we're going to use that space and that sort of thing? So it's a nice way to take personalities out of difficult conversations and to really just ask, how can we work together? And that's really what the tool provides, is sort of a completely non-biased third person that that you can blame. You know, another difficulty that I hear throughout the state is that, you know, folks feel as if the program may not get the type of level of respect that it may deserve, and that in a lot of cases, you know, a lot of practitioners are left with the feeling that they're sort of glorified babysitters. I don't know if anybody on the line has ever sort of had that type of impression, or that the program is, you know, secondary to the youth supports that are available on the campus. And so this is a nice tool, again, to work with folks and say, you know, we really want to be operating at high quality. If we're not meeting your needs, let's see how we can work together. And the tool lets folks know, like, look, we're actually thinking very deeply about our program and about program quality and program quality improvement, and allows them to be involved in a discussion that, again, is saying, how can we work together to make this happen, as opposed to, you know, having a sort of adversarial type of relationship based on, you know, personal wants or needs or things of that nature. With that, you know, I just definitely want to take the time to thank every one of you for taking the time to be on the call today, but also for just doing what you do. And I know that providing meaningful programming to high school youth is just so important, not only to the youth and communities that you serve, but, you know, the families that know that their youth are being positively engaged by the work that you do, while they may or may not be available to be off work and be, you know, monitoring their youth's behavior. So I just really want to thank you for the work that you've chosen to do, and thank you for being on the call. Are there any other sort of questions, comments? And as folks have been listening, did folks get any ideas on how they might use the tool?
Yeah, but I kind of already used it last year, so I'm kind of still working through it.
Still working through it. How did you guys use it last year?
Well, last year I took on a brand new site, so it was just redoing my whole program. So I started there, and then we just used that tool, and we went through and just found all the areas that I was lacking in according to the tool, and then during the beginning of this year, we kind of fixed that. And it actually worked, because we had an outside evaluator come out recently, and we got a very high score for improving there as we needed to, especially with alignment to the school day. That really helped a lot, actually.
Oh, great. Great. Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that it was useful, and that that you were able to actually increase your program quality in real measurable ways through the use of the tool. That is excellent news.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other thoughts on how you might use the tool?
I think the alignment with the school day is just a great thing to also go out with the administration on your site, principals and whatnot. Like, I'll use that probably in my next meeting, just to kind of go over so you can get a feel of what I'm trying to do. And then also it's just recognition, too. I mean, if you're able to hit high marks, you feel that your program's doing well. Sometimes the administration at your sites aren't aware of everything, so it brings light into their eyes as well.
Absolutely. So you can start those really meaningful conversations, but at the same time, you're able to really say, hey, this is what is happening in the program, and that there are things that are really working. So to bring that to the attention as well is always useful to gain support for your program. Very cool. Any other thoughts in terms of how you might use the tool in your own program? Going once. Why? And sold. Well, I want to thank everybody for your time today, the great work that you do, and just inform you that this will also be posted live on the network website, and so it will be available for you to access or for you to forward on to others to access in the future. So thanks, everybody, and keep up the good work out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have to get some lunch. Okay, where's...